When Freeman and I began communicating about his preaching this Sunday, I told him that he could choose whatever passage he wanted. I let him know that we had just finished a series on the Sermon on the Mount, but he seemed excited about that and asked if he could do an appendix to the series by preaching on these verses that Donna just read for us. As you know, we've been calling this series Salt and Light. We've got our salt and light hanging up there. But I haven't preached directly on those verses. So I told him I thought that that would be great if he would do an appendix for us on that. So when I heard on Friday that he wasn't going to be able to be with us after all, I knew that I wasn't going to have much time to put together a sermon. And honestly, my first impulse was to find something from a few years ago and recycle that. I don't think you even would have remembered. But I do like the idea of going back to the salt and light verses as an appendix to this series. So here are my hastily thrown together thoughts on this. And my apologies, I usually massage my metaphors more, but I may push this one a little bit. So as you know, I've been quite open about some of my health struggles. So I've talked often to y'all about my cluster headaches. Obviously you can see on the Sundays when I need to use a cane because of my SI joint. Sometimes I have to sit while I preach because I have difficulty regulating my heart rate when I'm standing. But I don't know if I've ever told you why that is. So 2 years ago, I was diagnosed with something called POTS. That stands for postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, which are just fancy words that means my heart races when I'm standing still. If you might be able to see this depending on where you're sitting, but if I'm standing up here, I am often like dancing up here. That is a compensation technique to help with that. Anyway, despite the primary symptom being a racing heart, is actually a neurological disorder, or more specifically, a dysregulation of the autonomic nervous system. Essentially, my brain doesn't send the correct messages to the rest of my body to pump blood back up to my heart, and so my heart races to compensate for that. That racing heart also results in a lot of other symptoms like brain fog, pain, stomach upset, problems with temperature regulation, fatigue, dizziness, and fainting. I've probably had it since I was a teenager or a young adult. As far as anyone else was concerned, I looked like a healthy young person, but I struggled with dizziness whenever I was standing for any length of time, and I would get fatigued so much faster than my peers. In fact, when I was a young person, I was a hospital chaplain, and I was often standing at patients' bedsides, and I would pass out. One time, I was visiting a patient on the post-anesthesia care unit, and one of the nurses at the nursing station saw me start to get wobbly, and bless her heart, she deftly moved her rolly chair over to catch me just before I hit the floor. Nurses are amazing. Doctors never gave me an adequate explanation for my fainting spills or why they happened sometimes, but not others. Mostly I learned to compensate, but it wasn't until I had COVID for the first time that it got to the point where I thought I might pass out every time I was standing up. It took over a year to get anyone to take me seriously, but finally it was a cardiologist at UVA who diagnosed me. And within a week of starting the appropriate treatment, I stopped having those almost fainting spells. My POTS still flares from time to time. My heart is racing a little bit right now, mostly when I'm sick or stressed or my headaches are flaring, but it's largely under control. I know you're wondering now, what does any of this have to do with salt and light? Well, aside from medication, the first line treatment for POTS is salt, and lots of it. Everyone here whose cardiologist has put them on a low salt diet is going to be really jealous when I tell you that my cardiologist put me on a high salt diet. So just for reference, the daily recommended allowance for an average person is 2,000 milligrams. I'm supposed to consume anywhere between 8,000 to 10,000 milligrams of salt a day, yes. I struggle to get that much. But without enough salt, my body struggles to perform the basic function of pumping blood back up to my heart and perfusing the rest of my body with that vital life force. Salt is such a vital element in our world. Actually, whichever kid talked about community has stolen my thunder already. From ancient to modern times, it has been used to heal wounds and disease. Salt is used in rituals and healing rites across cultures and religions. Some argue that its use in drying and preserving food was a major factor that led to the development of civilization. And of course, salt is a vital ingredient in cooking, baking, seasoning. I'm with whoever doesn't. I gotta have pretzels with salt on them, sorry. Brain fog. In his book, Salt, A World History, the author Mark Kalansky traces the history of the world through salt. And he argues that salt was one of the most important commodities in the world. He writes this, he says, salt is so common today, so easy to obtain, so inexpensive that we have forgotten that from the beginning of civilization until about 100 years ago, salt was one of the most sought after commodities in human history. So if we're thinking about Jesus's time, salt was really valuable then. We take it for granted, but it was an essential part of the culture and the economy of his day and of his region. One example is that Roman soldiers received a wage called a salarium. And that's where we get the word salary. And they used that salary to purchase salt. It was specific for salt. That's where the phrase worth his salt comes from. Jesus could have been referring to any of these uses we've named when he spoke about these words to the people who were gathered listening to him, that they were the salt of the earth. So let's remember that this verse comes directly after the Beatitudes. Jesus had looked out on this crowd gathered around him. It was disciples and outcasts and peacemakers and poor folks, and he reminded them that they were blessed and that they will be blessed by God. And then he calls them the salt of the earth. Perhaps it was a nod to the value of salt and their value. That certainly fits well with the tone of the Beatitudes. But it's not just an affirmation of them, but also a call to action. He says, you are beloved, you are blessed. Now go and share that love with others. In the English translation of the verses, we miss that the you here, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world, is plural. It's a plural word. So Jesus was not talking to individuals, but the whole community. If Jesus lived in Virginia, he might have said, y'all are the salt of the earth. Y'all are the light of the world. Like the kids said, we need one another. We need to come together. If we lose our connection to one another, we lose our effectiveness. Salt on its own is meh. Until I found a special electrolyte drink to help me get my 8,000 milligrams of sodium a day, I ate some salt packets straight up. It's as gross as it sounds. Salt is most effective when used to enhance another food, like slicing a salt of watermelon to bring out its sweetness. Light, of course, is much the same way. One candle alone dispels some of the darkness, but lots of candles together are a beacon. Throughout this series on the Sermon of the Mount, we've been talking about what it means to be beloved kingdom, community, or the kingdom of God. It is not incumbent on any one of us individually to bring about that community, but on all of us together. We together are the salt of the earth. We together are the light of the world. I have been so dismayed this week at the way Haitian immigrants have been treated following the remarks at the debate. This situation encapsulates the hate and vitriol and division that has come to characterize our current political climate. You might remember that I used to work with refugees back in Atlanta. None of the populations that I worked for were Haitian, but that doesn't matter. All of them, whether from Burma or Burundi or Cameroon or Sudan, wherever in the world and they came from, they were amazing folks. They survived traumas and hardships most of us here cannot even imagine. They were hardworking, loving, beautiful souls who just wanted a chance to live in peace. They were salt of the earth people. really fear for the Haitian immigrants and the way those hateful comments have unleashed violence and hatred on them and the city of Springfield. Comments like they're eating the dogs and cats or performing transgender operations on illegal aliens in prison. Those comments are ridiculous, but they are not jokes. These baseless claims do nothing but multiply hatred. They amplify the lies of Christian nationalism that perverts the message of the gospel, teaching us to fear the other rather than love our neighbor. Refugees, immigrants, trans folk, they are neighbors to be loved, not others to be feared or mocked. I don't know why throughout human history, violence and hatred have continued to exist. I don't know why God allows the worst of our human impulses to perpetuate. I don't know why we allow these things to happen, often participating in the multiplication of hate. But I do know that God calls us to meet violence and hatred with love, to carry the message of God's love out into this world. Jesus calls us to be salt, a healing, preserving force that multiplies love. Jesus calls us to be light, instruments of that love that dispel the forces of darkness. Doctors aren't entirely sure what causes POTS. There's some evidence to link it to trauma, severe headaches, and post-viral illness. It is on the rise with long COVID. One thing they do know is that even though it affects the heart is not the problem. My heart is really healthy. It's been looked all kinds of ways. It's fine. But somehow the message from my brain to the rest of my body gets lost. There's no cure. There are medicines to treat the symptoms, and salt is an effective tool for managing it. Salt works, this is how it works, by increasing the blood volume to compensate for the brain not sending the correct message to the rest of my body. In that way, salt is a multiplier of the resources that my body already has to heal. Theologians don't know why evil, pain, suffering exist in this world. Untold words have been written trying to explain the existence of evil in light of a good God. I have read many of those takes trying to answer that question. I have spent countless hours praying for an answer to why I experience pain. I have yet to find an answer that adequately explains that. I don't think there is a cure to the problem of evil. Pain and suffering are part of our human experience. And I am no longer interested in searching for an answer to the question of why evil exists. I am far more interested in increasing the volume of love and perfusing the body of this world with that love. I believe love can help us live in the world in ways that bring healing and hope, that we have the resources we need to heal. Our job is to help multiply and spread that message of love. One voice is beautiful, but the sound of all of us singing with love and the will to trust, that is the salt and light Jesus calls us to be for this world. Y'all are the salt of the earth. Y'all are the light of the world. Carry that message out into the body of this world.